The 1972 Munich Olympics attacks were so momentous that they made the word Munich synonymous with terrorism throughout the last quarter of the 20th century. Director Francine Zuckerman has made a film about a lesser-known story of the aftermath of the attacks involving four women who had not expected to get caught up in it. The film's called After Munich and it's screening at the Capitol Cinema in Auckland next Wednesday as part of the Dock Edge Festival. Francine Zuckerman is with me in the Auckland studio. Hello there.
Hello, lovely to be here.
Yeah, kia ora and welcome. How did you get interested in this story?
You know, it all started quite a little while ago. I was fascinated by the idea that something huge political event, something happened, but I was interested in the personal stories of people, and that's sort of been my trajectory as a filmmaker. And I heard about this one woman who was a member of the Israeli Mossad, the Israeli spy, and she was on the team to assassinate the head of Black September, who was responsible for what happened in Munich. And I got very fascinated by her, and I found out she was Canadian, and I connected to her. And then I thought, wouldn't it be more interesting to tell it from four different points of view of four women whose lives changed that day and look at the idea of terrorism and war, but from the point of view of trauma. How do we individually deal with trauma?
And to backtrack a little, can you remind people what happened on that day in 1972?
Sure. So many people were not around or little like I was. Firstly, 900 million people were watching television that day. It was the Munich Olympics, huge, huge international event. And a group of Palestinian terrorists stormed the Israeli residence of the men's residence and killed two of the athletes. And then subsequently, they kidnapped the rest. That was nine others and went to an airfield hoping to leave with the athletes, as you know, the idea was that they were going to kidnap them, but it just was a huge mess, and all of the athletes were killed, including I think two or three of the Palestinian terrorists as well. So it just was, there was not enough security. The way the Germans dealt with it, the Palestinian terrorists climbed over the fence. They got in very easily.
Climbed over the fence.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so unsurprising that Mossad became involved afterwards. Who were the other three women that you chose to feature?
So there were two Mossad agents. One was the one that I mentioned, Sylvia Raphael, who was a very highly, highly trained Mossad agent. The other one was Marianne Gladnikov, who wasn't highly trained and was pulled in last minute because they thought that that Ali Hassan Salameh, the mastermind, was in Norway. And so she was pulled in because she was Swedish and Israeli and could speak the language. And then the two other women, amazing, amazing women. I'm just so taken by them. Anki Spitzer, who is a widow of one of the athletes, and she was 26 when her husband was murdered.
Gosh.
And her daughter was 3 weeks old. And the other one was an athlete, Esther Shahamarov, who was a short distance runner, and she was in the women's quarter, so she was safe, but clearly had to leave right away for security reasons.
Anki Spitzer is a journalist. Did those events in 1972 end up sort of influencing the path she took?
Hugely. She is Dutch. She decided instead of going back and having an easy life in the Netherlands, she would go to Israel because she wanted her daughter to know who her father was. Chose to learn Hebrew and then became covered the Middle East for Dutch and Belgian television, and now is this really well-known journalist, and actually interviewed Arafat without Arafat knowing who she was. And she says I was sitting looking into his eyes and thinking he was responsible for the death of my husband, but I couldn't tell him that. I just had to find a way to move on and be a journalist.
Wow. That younger Mossad agent you mentioned, was she sent to assassinate some of the terrorists?
The two of them were on the team, so they didn't pull the trigger, but they were spies. So they were the ones who, it was a 12-person team, and the two women actually were caught and put in prison in Norway. And so we tell that story as well.
How did it affect Esther, who was, you know, who was sort of there but was not directly involved, but nonetheless, I imagine it cast a bit of a shadow for her.
It certainly did. She was going for gold, obviously, as all athletes are. And she was 19. She broke all the records in Israel. She was an amazing runner, 100 meters and hurdles. And she was going to give up being an athlete because her coach was murdered. And he was somebody who nurtured her and supported her entire young life. But then she was encouraged by another coach that she met, who she eventually married, to go to Montreal in 76 and compete. So she did and continued that. And now they're all in their 70s now. And Esther is now passing the torch to the next generation. And when we were filming with her, I said, is there no young person who's following in your footsteps? And she said, no, there's nobody. And then we went back to film again. And just a week before we arrived to shoot, a 19-year-old broke her record after 46 years.
Amazing. So how do you, as the person making the film, how do you go about telling the story so it's not just talking heads for 90 minutes?
Right. Good, very good question. That's always a challenge.
There's some beautiful grainy footage, by the way.
It's very grainy.
Yeah,
I know.
But it looks just beautiful.
Good. Thank you. It's always, I love telling people's stories and seeing their faces. And I really do actually love talking heads, but you can't do a film just with talking heads. So we used a lot of archives, which was hugely expensive and very challenging to get all the rights. But we played with archives. We got into their lives. Who are they now? What are they doing? But the most important thing for me is, how, all these years later, what's their life like? Who are they? What's important to them? And how do you move on after a trauma like that? And each one of them has dealt with it differently. So, for instance, Anki was all about keeping her husband's memory alive, whereas Esther was about passing the torch. And Marianne was really about getting through trauma in a very difficult way, because she was really traumatized because she was pulled in last minute to the Mossad team, wasn't trained, and then was in prison.
Is there much footage of the actual attack, what happened that day?
That was the most amazing thing is, of course, all the press was there and all the journalists were there. So there's incredible footage from all over the world. And because 900 million people were watching, we are dealing with terrorism now that many years later.
And what is the point of making a movie like this about something that happened almost 50 years ago and choosing what are in some ways quite peripheral figures? What do you hope to achieve and what is the value in doing it?
To avoid these kinds of, just the intensity of war and terrorism, but also to really understand how do we move on and find a way through something like this. So I really got excited about telling the stories of these women because I think they have so much to share now that they have the perspective of being in their 70s and looking back.
Are you enjoying traveling the world and attending these screenings?
I am. I also, this is my second home because my partner, Deb Filler, who's a Kiwi and actually performing tonight at the Q Theater, I come back with her and my mother-in-law is turning 91. So I'm very excited to be back in New Zealand. And my next stop is Munich and then Tel Aviv. So I'll be screening it there. The subjects have not seen it yet. So the Kiwi audience is getting it before they
are. You must be really excited about that.
I am. I'm really excited about it.
Well done. Have you worked out what your next project's going to be yet?
Yes. Very exciting. I am adapting Margaret Atwood's first novel, and she was just here, called The Edible Woman, and we're doing it as a TV series.
Wow.
With a Canadian company and an Aussie, sort of British, Aussie, American company. And it's a huge project. So it's her first book was called The Edible Woman, and I've had the rights for over 10 years.
Ah.
So the timing's
so predating Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
And what's this? Alias Grace?
Grace.
Yeah. And so this is fictional drama?
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited about it, and I have a wonderful team. So we're and I just saw Margaret Atwood at the Civic, so that was very cool.
Great. Well done. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much,
Francine Zuckerman, who's film After Munich will screen at the Capitol Cinema in Auckland next Wednesday as part of the Doc Edge